Should be plugged in. We are, and we are ready to rock and roll. And you're listening to the Kraz Files podcast with Adam. It's Tuesday, the 31st of December, 2019. We are about to tumble over into 2020. Corey's plugging in with me again from sunny Florida. So good to have you back, buddy, and welcome, members. And lots of great info going up on my website, krazfiles.com, C-R-A-Z-Z. Plenty to go through over there. Lots to go through, actually. So please enjoy. For those people out there who enjoy these podcasts, if you want to hear some more, you can become a member on the website for a few bucks a month and help me to continue here. It really makes a difference. You can go on YouTube as well and watch all the podcasts we put up there. I'm on Facebook and Twitter and some of those, Gab and this and that and this and that. But the website, everything's really attached there now to the website. We've kind of made it like that, so it's really where I want it to be, which has been a lot of hard work. So enjoy that website, krazfiles.com. And Corey, end of the year, we are ahead of you here. So we are New Year's Eve here in Sydney, Australia. We're about to get the big Sydney fireworks. I was talking about this on just the show, one of my wrap-up shows for last night for the members, that it's going to be all the big fireworks going off. And I wasn't being a party pooper. I was just kind of saying that I don't understand them. I don't get it, but all the families and all the people go absolutely bananas. They sleep out in Sydney Harbour for a couple of days. They're waiting, and then they'll sit out there all day till midnight to watch the fireworks over Sydney Harbour for 10 minutes. The explosions in the skies blowing up everybody's imagination. And we have them around here where I live, and you just can't even get near them. There's just thousands and thousands of people. It's like a huge pilgrimage, just all going up and down the coast to go and see the cracklers go off in the sky. And then for some reason that means that it's 2020. So I'm not being a party pooper with it. I try to keep it about family and maybe have a few drinks and make some nice food, you know, as we come into a new year. But I don't know if you feel the same way. Do you get all those shenanigans and things? I guess you have it over there in the US, the big fireworks displays, as we head into 2020. What are you up to? What are you going to do for the new year?
Well, I live in Florida, so I'll probably be in bed by 10.
So you're a party animal.
And actually, we've had no sun for the last week. It's been kind of cloudy here, which is kind of rare for Florida, but it's still pretty warm. But you know, Baz, we have fireworks all the time anymore. It seems like every other week I hear them from a ballpark or something. So they seem like they light them off, you know, on a pretty regular basis.
So they're not illegal there? Because in Australia, they're illegal.
Well, they're illegal for the consumer, but but for the businesses, they can get licenses, it sounds. I mean, almost every ball game or something will have some type. Not like the New Year's ones, of course, but there's other, they're going off on a pretty. I'm surprised in Australia. Aren't you guys tired of smoke and stuff? Don't you guys got all the wildfire? You'd think you'd be kind of smoked out.
Yeah. You know? A lot of people want them stopped this year just because of the terrible fires. And we're copping it again in Victoria. Down there, there's mega fires down there now, linking up. So a lot of councils are cancelling the fireworks this year, and people think it's a bit inappropriate to have fireworks when all this is going on, and people, more firefighters have died, and so it's a pretty tragic circumstances at the moment. I'm still very smoggy and things going on, but I don't know, people just love them so much. It's just something I never understood, that's all. You know, and as I said, I like to have fun too. It's not that, it's just I don't get it. I've been a few times, I've been a few years, I've watched them, and I just don't understand why people bother with that. I don't really get it. It's it just seems to be tied up in this whole illusion that we live in, to just keep endless distractions, keeping the human being and their mindset just constantly distracted and looking away from where they really should be looking all the time. But people love being distracted because they don't have to look inwardly or deal with anything, maybe. I don't know. But there's something like that with the fireworks. They really, really love it. It's a big one for them.
I think as you wake up, I'm not sure what Australia's national anthem is like, but in America, our national anthem is really just a fight song about bombing people and celebrating war. If you listen to the American National Anthem, that's what they're going to, you know, that's the theme of every, you know, New Year's Eve as well. It seems like, at least, and of course, July 4th. But I think once you start realizing what fireworks represent to a lot of people, as a truther, you know, you kind of get annoyed with it. I look at fireworks as probably celebrating things that I don't want to celebrate personally. And maybe some of the truthers might feel the same way, especially if they're from America, because our national anthem is not a good one.
It's interesting. Well, today we thought we'd just plug in. Going to be a shorter podcast today, I promise. I know we ramble on a little bit, but I think people enjoy that. We've covered a lot in the short time that we've known each other just this year. If you look at the three podcasts that we've put up, it's covered a lot. It's covered a lot of ground. There's a lot of information in those. There's a lot of information that people aren't talking about or aren't willing to talk about that are in those. So I think, you know, there's a good fair few hours just in those three podcasts. And but we're heading to 2020 now, so obviously in the new year we're going to continue. We've got a great health show coming up for the listeners out there, which is going to be pretty full on. And also maybe on the next one we might try to look into the gematria and the actor reality, which might be a bit confronting for some people. It's very interesting, and you cover it a lot. But that should be a good show. And so what I thought today we would just sort of go over and have a wrap up of what we've gone over this year, because it's been pretty amazing, and get ready for the new year. I said last night that life is really like a game, Corey, or something. You do feel like an actor sometimes in this. Things just seem to be getting weirder by the day, and I think as a truther, you do tend to take things so seriously, and it does that to you. We talked about that, you know, all these kinds of things going on in the world, you get really upset about it, and a lot of truthers get really serious and angry about things, and they become that person, and it gets you, doesn't it? And I kind of see things now like we're just actors in this play. It's really weird. It's like, no, you can't stop it no matter how hard you try. We always say we're like Truman. It's like you're stumbling through scenes. You're an actor just stumbling through these doorways into new sets and new scenes all the time. It's like ready, go, or whatever. And you just live out your life this way. It's really interesting. I spoke on another show with Wayne Bush, I think, about that. And we're kind of talking about maybe we're like behind all this. We're like these advanced beings. And, you know, because we live forever. And I don't think that the consciousness is attached to our bodies. I don't think our soul or our consciousness or whatever is in our hearts or in our minds. I think it's out there in this field, and our bodies are just sort of attached to this. And when our bodies die, the consciousness moves out. And maybe we're some advanced being somewhere and we're playing games with ourselves, you know? It's like a funny way to look at it, you know? We're sitting around a table somewhere and we're sending these humans down to Earth to test us morally and our values and see if we survive the game, how we go. And then when it's game over, we do it again. it's really, and I see these characters around at Christmas now, and as I said, everyone go to the fireworks and everyone doing their thing, and it's like one big show, isn't it, Corey? And as we talk about the politicians and how that's all fake and all their fake events, I think about history. We're going to go over that in the new year. I want to talk about the fake dinosaur theories. I want to talk about Darwinism and evolution and all of this. I think that's interesting subjects. But it just seems like the whole human history, not only have we been lied to, and is a lot of history a lie, but everything seems to be carefully manufactured by the people running this to get us right up to this point now. It's so interesting, and I don't think that we can be angry or bitter about it. I'm just trying to find a lighter way to sort of look around me and sort of have a little bit of a chuckle at it sometimes, although some of it is quite serious, I know, and a little bit scary. But how do you work this out?
Well, that's what we kind of talked about in the first interview that we did is, you know, I think anyone that is a truther, they go through like different phases, right? And definitely anger seems to be part of almost every phase of the truther as you keep peeling back the onion. And then, you know, I've done this for quite a long – I mean, I've done it for about 10 hours a day for 7 years and got into it pretty deep. And then you start realizing that the world is ran in an absolute way. And I realize I've got 300 books in my library on all these truth or topics. I look at them today and I'm like, you know, these are all rabbit holes that they controlled as well. So even as a truther, you're being controlled by the people that run the world. I mean, they run everything and they run the truth as well. They do a good job of it. And I fell for every rabbit hole that they probably have set up. But then once you find out the world is kind of like the Truman Show and nobody's really bad in the world. I mean, there's some weird people, but generally humans are really good all over the world. And I think you realize that everybody has the same goals and desires and everybody is good, but we're presented with a picture that's, you know, just if you watch TV for just one day, it's doom and gloom. And there's so many things that they present that just, you know, can drive you crazy and keep you stressed and depressed. But then once you realize it is acted out or it's controlled or scripted, I mean, it's almost humorous because it's funny watching people react to it. I guess that's what entertains me is I can see how they control people and how people fall for it, hook, line, and sinker. And I did for 45 years of my life before I started to question things. But, you know, I think the nice thing about the shows that we're doing is we can give people really a better perspective that, you know, life isn't the way we think it is, but it can be great. We just have to realize that we can't change it. And as a truther, I think truthers get caught up in wanting to change other people, and they think they can change the system. And we've talked about it at length that the system is the system, and I don't know a way to change it. And I think since we did that last podcast on that, not one person gave a solution on how to change it, right? Because there is none. There is no way to even stop the simple things. You know, I mean, just stopping chemical trails, for example, nobody likes those, but there's no way to stop it, right? So, you know, so I think that's the thing that once you accept the fact that you can't change anything except yourself and people that you love and your kids and your family, you know, then you can focus on things that are important. But I think truthers get caught up in the macro, which I did for a long time. I wanted to shout it to everybody and hope everybody would change and the system would change. And now I realize nothing's going to change but me.
You think that will devastate people like truthers more when they get to that point in their life when they realize that they can't actually change anything? Does that have an effect on people psychologically where they might just go into a little bit of a state of depression or something like that? That's a hard thing to do, to sort of get to that point where you get to that end of the road, you know, where you think, I can't actually change this system. But then as a human being, you've got to kind of work it out like a Rubik's Cube in your mind, how you can get out as a truther and make this a positive stretch for your life. But then some people might go the other way and think or feel like they've hit a wall. And you know, that's kind of that point at your life, isn't it? Where you come to that point and you've got to realize which direction should I go now that I know that it's all fake, but I can't change it.
That's a good point. I think almost every truther will identify with the fact that, you know, you do lose a lot of friends if you're someone who, you know, gets involved in the truth and talks about it a little bit or a lot. Because, you know, once you kind of go down these rabbit holes, it's pretty hard not to talk about it. It's pretty hard to engage in just regular conversation. But I got to the point now where, you know, I don't really talk about the truth much anymore when I go out. And I don't go out a lot anymore, but I will engage people if they want to engage. But when I tell them up front, I go, I'm not here to debate you. I'm here to give you my knowledge. And if you want to hear it, I'd be happy to give you as much time as you want. And I do a lot on the health side that we just talked about. But, I love to give time to people that want to learn, but I've given up trying to, you know, change people. Like my family. My family won't listen to a thing I say, and that's all right. You know, I can't change them. I wish they would give me the benefit of the doubt being family, but family sometimes is the hardest people to sell. But I don't know, but it is. I mean, trust me, there's days I'm depressed because I know the world could be a great place for a lot of people. A lot of people I know are having so many struggles, you know, with health and finances, and you know, they're just depressed and they, you know, they got dead end jobs. I mean, they just get sucked into the system and they don't know how to play the system. And then, you know, most people I know are struggling, you know, which is sad. And they have solutions, but they don't want to entertain them. So, but, you know, I'm hoping our shows give people some hope, because once you understand the system isn't going to be changed, it's going to stay the same. Then you just go, okay, well, I guess I'm just going to focus on making it the best for myself and my family and my kids and people I care about. Then it becomes, at least it's become easier for me. Not that it's super easy, but I still get annoyed when I see chemicals over my head, but I can't do anything about it. Yes. Kind of things like that. But not watching TV is a big one, though. So I think most truthers maybe give up TV, but, you know, I can't imagine watching TV anymore. That would probably drive me pretty much insane.
It's hard. I mean, speaking of TV, I was just mentioning a scene out of the Matrix movie on the last podcast where He's in the simulation with the guy with Neo and Morpheus. He's walking through all this crowd of people, and he's saying that these people that are living their lives, they're still so embedded in this system, and they'll fight to protect that system. Meaning, you know, like you talk about your family and people around you, they're so embedded in the system. They don't want to hear you. They don't believe anything that you say. They think you're a conspiracy nut, and they'll actually fight you to protect that very system that's enslaving them. They don't know. So it's the capture bonding syndrome, you know, the Stockholm syndrome. And I was just thinking of that. And I've been on holidays recently. I was talking about all these people around me and how they are and everything. There's just no way I can ever get along with them. So, you know, I mean, there's this whole peace and love thing, you know, brothers and sisters, we're all human, we're all made up the same way, we're all flesh and bone and blood and skin and soul or whatever, and so we all have to find a way to come together and make it work and all of this, but I just don't see that anymore. I just don't feel that I can connect with any of these people, and I don't feel like there's any way that you can wake them up. It's like truthers, you know, we talk about the vaccination movement. They're always trying to make these politicians see their way. You know, the truthers are always trying to talk to the politicians, get them to come around. I know there's going to be a political figure in the parliament who will listen to us, and he's going to be a good guy, and he'll chat with the other guys, and it'll make a difference. Is you can't talk to these people because they're not real. They're actors. They're not going to come round to your way. They're not going to bow down to what you want at all. They don't care. They don't care. But what do we do about these people? Do we just go on with our lives and walk straight through them? Do we just not talk to them? Do we be nice to them? Do we try and engage with them? Do we fight with each other? Do we get engaged at all? Or we just completely go our separate ways and don't worry about us and be happy with who we are? Do we find a way to be happy within us? Is that the answer for a truther to find the way out of this? To be happy with who you are first? Is that the first spark?
Yeah, and I think, you know, I look at everyone now with empathy. I used to look at people as, you know, morons and idiots, right? I think you kind of go through that phase where, you know, you want to show somebody a 30-minute truth or video that had them wake up. That's
not
the dream, right?
They're not interested.
And,
yeah.
And so now I don't think, you know, I don't look at people as bad. I just, you know, and a lot of it, you know, some people, again, I was lucky because I have a web-based company, so I was able to spend a lot of time going down rabbit holes. But if I worked, at, you know, 60 hours a week and had kids, I wouldn't have a lot of time to soak up anything but work and family, right? I wouldn't have a lot of time to watch, you know, 10 hours of research a day. And it takes a little while, I think, to get over the top to where you start seeing the world the way it is. But, I think the key really is you got to – I think really you got to look at the world as a great place. And like I used to think that, oh, if I tell the truth, that they're going to want to, you know, put me in a FEMA camp or, you know, kill me or something. You know, I think if, you know, the people that rule the world, if they listen to me right now, they're like, he figured it out. And again, all I did was figure out the system's absolute. I'm not wanting to change anything, but I have a choice of how much debt I have, and I have a choice of what kind of food I eat. I have a choice if I want to watch their brainwashing programs or not. You know, so really, if you live life simple, life's pretty easy. And I've said this more than a few times, but I really think if people wanted to live a really nice life, it's available today. You know, if you don't feel like you have to have 60-inch televisions and new cars and expensive homes and things like that, I think you can live a pretty good life today. And technology is kind of cool. I mean, there's a lot of technologies being used in a negative way, but at the same time, it's, you know, it's allowed us to talk and meet, and we're, you know, 10,000 miles apart. So I think there's a lot to good. I guess I don't look at things bad anymore. I'm disappointed that people don't wake up, because if we all did wake up, the system maybe could change. I mean, if people don't comply, the system might change, but I don't see that ever happening. You know, in my lifetime, I don't think it'll happen. But so I know I feel pretty good. I, you know, because I think the world there is a ways out. You know, so I guess not to ramble on, but I think the world's a good place.
It's the first we cover a lot of that in the first podcast we did, and that was very popular. Went over well with some people, and it's out there, and it's done well. Do you feel like with this system around us, say we call it the Freemasons who are in charge, I think that's what you called it, all of these are just names, but Freemasons does kind of add up. Do you feel like it does seem that with everything they do, they need to notify us first? That seems to be part of the truth that I hear, you know. It's like they need to tell you what they're doing to you. So is there some kind of contract in this? You know, obviously, if you're at home and you buy a TV and you put it on your wall and you turn it on, you're entering into a contract with them that you're watching that propaganda, so you're being programmed. It's like all their documents, everything they get you to sign and everything like that. They've got to get your free will first. It's like the old vampire coming in the window and knocking on the window. You've got to open it, let him in, and let him bite you on the neck. It seems like that whole contract thing going on here that we're not aware of as well, that they need to tell us what they're doing for us to continue on this path.
I think they're pretty proud of their system. And again, since they run the system, absolutely, they don't care what we know. And I think they realize that they have such control over people. And, you know, whether a few people wake up about the system, it doesn't really make a difference because, again, I have no doubt that they control everything, absolutely. And we talked about the currency. I mean, you know, I don't know how many people in the world, you know, are living and dying by trying to earn a dollar or trying to earn some currency to pay their bills. And I don't meet anybody in America, for example, that even knows where the dollar comes from. I mean, that's pretty basic, right? Everybody is chasing dollars, and I can't find one person who understands where it comes from. Everybody will say it comes from the government because it's called the Federal Reserve. And so I'm like, that's why I'm like, God, if I can't get people to wake up on just some simple things, that's very public. I mean, you can find out by going to the Federal Reserve's website that it's a private company. They don't hide it. But nobody, you know, anyway, so it kind of amazes me that, you know, everybody lives and dies to earn money. Most people I know don't have enough of it, and they're spending, you know, most of their waking hours trying to earn money. And they don't seem to care about the fact that the money is ran by a private company. And so that's the part that's disheartening, I guess, is because, you know, even the simplest things I try to explain to people where that's not like a, you know, some type of a conspiracy, because there's no conspiracy that currency is ran by a private corporation. Again, it's in plain sight, but nobody, it doesn't even bother anybody. You know? Like, they're more bothered about not enough checkers at Walmart, but they're okay that Walmart runs the money, right? Oh, Walmart's got all these self check stations now and terrible service, but like, well, what if Walmart ran the currency in your pocket? Would that piss you off? You know, they can't put two and two together. So that part gets kind of frustrating because a lot of the – and you're right. A lot of the – everything they do, they tell us in advance. I think that's part of the fun for them because maybe it's how they sleep at night. They're like, you know what? We're giving people – 9/11, I showed you that video, and they were telling us about 9/11 before they built the buildings. You know, they wanted us to know long ahead of time that was going to happen.
It's why is that, you think? What does does that achieve for these people at the end of the day? What are we looking at if we saw something like 9/11 you know, that's crazy because they're telling you in movies that were made back in the 80s or whatever. They're showing you in the culture that they're going to do this. Isn't there a weird, is it one of the Rockefellers or something? There's a weird photo out there where he's got a watch.
Yeah, it's Rockefeller. Yeah, I think I sent you that magazine.
It's on 9/11, the watch?
Yeah.
It's weird. Well, what's the end game here? What are they hoping to achieve out of this and, you know, doing this to buildings and stuff like that? Is it all about fear and control? You know, obviously, you know, it does give them an excuse to go into other countries and terrorize them and take their resources and everything. And bring them down. I understand that.
I don't think that's happening like we think, though, you know, in regards to these countries being bombed and raped and pillaged. I don't, you know, I'm not there, but I don't think, you know, we're killing millions of people in the Middle East. I think they just have to let us think that. And I think what people see on the news is different in every country. And I don't know. That's a good question, Adam, because, you know, they run everything because, you know, a lot of people, a lot of truthers will say, you know, it's the NWO, the New World Order, right? But I'm like, well, it's never been a New World Order because they've always ran everything. There is no new because it's never been – They always have.
Why do they need to bring down Twin Towers for, you know? Like, what does it prove? I mean, unless they're showing off some kind of new directed energy technology or something like that, and I mean – you know, if you looked at those towers, it did seem like they were being cooked. But it just created, as we said, a whole room of broken mirrors where all this creates this whole truth of communities where everyone's arguing and bickering about why 9/11 happened. You kind of just think, you know, all these staged events and weird events that go on, you know, it's just like, what's the end game here? Why do they keep continuing to do this all the time? I mean, it does seem about fear to me. Seems like it keeps the herd in that fear mode. Everyone sort of, you know, goes back and lives their lives and gets along and starts getting happy again. And then they have one of these shooting events and everyone kind of, you know, goes back into that fear mode again, you know. So I know that's a lot to do with it. But well, it's like you said, it's like they're mocking us. They're, you know, they're showing you what they're doing to humanity all through history as it unfolds, you know. It's absolutely insane. I mean, I understand they're putting all this stuff in modern culture and video clips and movies and cartoons and everything because it goes into your subconscious and you get used to it. And then when you see it or you're watching it all the time in the movies and you see these events where you're not too shocked because you're so used to seeing it and it's so embedded in your subconscious anyway. So they just, it's like that warm bath, you know, they just get us used to it, whether we like it or not. And then when it happens, it's like, oh, well, you know, it's crazy.
Well, here's a way to think about it. And I don't think a lot of truthers will think this way. If you sit back and you got to remove the emotion, I try to teach people, I go, you'll never get to truth if you're emotional about anything. You know, or you'll never make a good business decision if you're emotional. You'll never make good food buying decisions if you go to the store hungry. And so if you think about it, you know, we've really only had an economy, you know, for 100, 125 years, right? Before that, there wasn't really much going on in regards to how they could control us, right? I mean, they had the Bibles, and that's probably their first biggest form of control was religion. But otherwise, there wasn't really a lot of way to control people 100 years ago, right? There was really no media, right? No radio, really, no TV, no internet. So they didn't have a lot of ways to control us, right, that I can see. People pretty much, you know, worked and, you know, they raised their own food and everything was, you know, pretty easy back then, right?
It was simpler, yeah.
And so to me, if I ran the world, again, if you think about, you know, the Freemasons from my research, and again, the Freemasons are not the Illuminati, because Freemasons are lodges that you can join, right? You can become a Freemason. So when I say Freemasons, I'm not saying the Illuminati, because I don't know of any Illuminati lodges here in the States, but I can go to a Freemason lodge in my city, right? You have them as well. And every country has Freemasons. It's a public, you know, fraternity. And they're all over the world. And this network of, you know, my research shows about 5 million men that's part of this network. And, you know, they run everything. I mean, so once you know that governments are fake, they run all the currencies and they run all the media. I mean, everyone's heard the fact that the media is ran by, you know, six Jewish people. I mean, everything's ran really by a handful of people. But when you've got 5 million people in the same fraternity that are very loyal to each other, you know, it's very easy to see how they run the world. I mean, it's like child's play. And I'm almost like they're just bored. They're like, what can we do now? You know what? They already run everything. They already won the game, right? It's like you run everything. So I don't know. I think they're just having fun. And I think they just play around like kids playing in a sandbox. Because, again, they're not worried about something happening to their rule. They're probably just like, what can we throw at these guys right now? That's how I look at it now. I think they're just bored. It's like young kids playing practical jokes, right? They just have they just have better jokes because they run everything. You know, their jokes are a little more elaborate than you might have done in, you know, third or fourth grade. So I don't look at it as bad, but I just look at it like they're bored. You know, and I think a lot of things they do are – some of it's fake. Some of the stuff they're doing, of course, is real. I mean, vaccines are real, and it's killing kids and killing people, and flu shots are real. And I don't know, but I don't look at it as – I don't know. I don't know what their end game is, and that we could. I don't think anyone knows that answer, but I'm pretty positive that these organized people, you know, these Freemasons are pretty organized, and they do what they want when they want where they want.
It can get scary, I guess, for people when you look at something like New York with that fake measles epidemic, you know, and how they just sort of forced that and then started going door to door. You sort of think, gee, if they come up with some staged outbreak event, you know, because we have quarantine laws, you have them as well. They can enforce those. It's a little bit of a concern with what they can do if they want to.
My opinion, those are fake. I think all those stories are fake. Because I fell for the FEMA camp scare here. I don't know, back about 4 years ago, a bunch of Walmarts were mysteriously closing, and they were saying Walmarts were going to be these FEMA camps. And again, I don't think none of that will happen, because obviously if they start doing that, that will rile up people. They just have to rile people up mentally. I'm not scared at all about currencies collapsing. You know, that's been the scare here since I've been 20 years old, right? They're going to collapse the currency. China's going to take over, right? That's all I hear. Nothing ever changes. You know, inflation stays the same, and everything pretty much stays the same. So personally, I'm not scared of that anymore. I used to be. They're not going to take any guns. You know, they might make people afraid to use them, but again, that doesn't make a difference. People act like if we have guns in America that we can take over the rulers. I'm like, first of all, I mean, guns, you know, it's not an even fight today. They've got a lot more technology at their hands than a 9mm. You know, assuming that we were going to, you know, I don't know who we would storm and fight if we were actually going to fight somebody like a revolution. But I don't know. I'm not scared anymore of those things. And I think a lot of truthers do get scared of that because they throw out so many things, right? They throw out so many things that I used to believe. I'm not sure if I believe them anymore. MK Ultra. And they've got so many rabbit holes that you can go down. And maybe they're real, maybe they're not. But I don't care anymore because I can't control it. It doesn't make a difference. We can't change it. So I guess as a truther, I'm maybe not a good truther anymore because I just know I can't change most of the things that they're talking about. I think they're interesting, and maybe they're true, maybe they're not. Personally, I think a lot of it's probably just stories and hype. You know, I mean, you know, some things are real, of course, wars and vaccines and things, but there's a lot of things that I've got books on that I think are probably, you know, more fictional and scare tactics and things that are actually happening. But I could be wrong.
Well, they have actually, you know, brought in pretty draconian laws in Australia in regards to vaccines for no particular reason. I think a few years back, they did just change all the laws because I think there was this fake death of a baby of whooping cough, you know. I don't believe that really happened. And then they had these parents up there pushing forward and change the rules in the fake government. But they did, yeah, it's like in Australia, it's just ridiculous now. It's like kids can't go to daycare and stuff like that if they haven't been jabbed and all of this. So they did sort of push those lines, which is just ridiculous and makes no sense anyway. And of course, it started this big anti-vaccination movement, which is just tremendous. I mean, there's, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40,000 people in some groups, you know. It's absolutely massive, you know, and it just goes on and on and on. You can't get to the end of it now, and everybody's infighting, and nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Well, it's got more intense, actually, the laws.
Yeah, I agree completely. I mean, I don't want to sound like I agree the fact that things are getting harder, and it's not happening from the people. And again, there's no solution from the people, but they want us to think that we can, you know, you can watch the movie Vaxxed and be an anti-vaxxer. And again, like we covered on the other podcast, I mean, how did the vaccine paradigm start? Not from the people. So all these paradigms that people argue about and are trying to change aren't paradigms that came from the people. So again, you know, America, we fought the biggest military in the world because of a 0.2% tax on tea. So if you believe that bull crap, you know, like, well, man, we're paying a lot higher tax on tea today, but nobody seems to care. We have tax on tea and tax on everything. So but it is kind of scary because obviously a lot of this is reality. I mean, you know, a lot of people have to, you know, they live beyond their means. So the state raises their kids through the public school system, and they are doing a lot of things to really corrupt these children. I can't imagine what's going to happen in 10 years between how sick these kids are and what they're peddling in schools these days. That, you know, it seems like it's getting a little more ridiculous. And so that is a reality that's probably going to be pretty interesting to see in another decade or two. It's wish funny. I could say it's going to be better, but
it's funny, the schools, because I'm not putting our little one in a school, and I've noticed some of the other parents putting their ones in primary school, and I've noted straight away like how good they were before, and then the bad behavior starting to come in. I was speaking to a man who has a friend who put his boy in a local high school and pulled him out because the boy was coming home and swearing, talking about boobs and dicks and all of this stuff and, you know, all this gross stuff. And I hear the little boys do it even in primary school. It's like they were fine before, and then they go into primary school and they're coming home and they're talking about all this all this silly, ridiculous nonsense mixed in with, you know, the transgender propaganda, and they have all these color days now, and, you know, oh, a man can be with a man and all this, and they're teaching him that in the classes, of course, you know, or whatever in the curriculum. But it's funny seeing that low-level mentality come out from these kids who are being put into these concentration camps, open air prisons, maybe, you know, that's what they are. I mean, and the teachers are being brainwashed and forced to comply. I mean, I wouldn't put my kid anywhere near them, but everyone says, you know, your child needs an education. They need an education or they won't go anywhere in life. Maybe this is true, maybe this is not. It's a confusing subject as well. Schooling, universities, because of course it's all manufactured.
Well, that is kind of scary in regards to, you know, what is happening at these schools. I'm not sure how much is true, though. I see these stories all the time on Facebook, at least in America, about how they're teaching, you know, these, you know, elementary kids schools, you know, how to use dildos and anal sex. And, you know, we see for some reason a lot of these drag queens reading books to kids at the library. And I don't think those are probably true. And I always ask people that follow me, I'm like, you know, if I was, I think a lot of parents maybe aren't the brightest people in the world today, but I'm like, I'm pretty sure most parents would not allow their kids to, you know, have a lesson on sex toys and from drag queens. I think most parents would be right up at that school probably asking for answers. So I'm not sure, but I could be wrong. I don't have any kids, but it seems like most parents wouldn't put up with that. What do you think?
It is happening. It is happening. I mean, I think some of it's fake. I think there's some fake stories, but I have seen proof and videos, and they do have it in Australia, although it's very sneaky because they had this thing called Safe Schools, and it was brought under the umbrella of bullying. So they didn't want kids to be bullied if they were confused about their sexuality, but they actually got underneath. Parents didn't even know about this, but it was very insidious. It was very, very strange, and they do still do it in Victoria, but they are teaching this curriculum in schools because I know that I've actually spoken to kids, and they tell me they do it. So the proof is right there. They are doing it.
Wow.
But it is a, they changed the marriage laws in Australia, you know, for all of that, so... because that wasn't allowed here, so they changed all that. But there is this big push by these people. They're very well funded. They seem to have a lot of power and a lot of money. We have the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras. So I think Sydney's the gay capital of the world, even more than San Francisco. And they have these big parades, and it's all smutty and stuff, and all the families go and take their kids, because it's all about incorporating everybody in and being fair and giving everyone a fair go. But they did do that. They did, and it did get pulled out because parents were so upset about it, and they didn't want their kids taught any of this without their permission, and they didn't know what was going on in the schools in the day, so there was a big uproar over it. And there was some of these story times. There actually was. They're getting them in. I've seen pictures and video of it, whereas you do get some... What I have found is you'll get like the InfoWars or Natural News or some of the big truth networks. Generally, they'll take stories from the media, say that they are true. They'll take stories and they'll rewrite them and they'll blow them up a little bit. You know, like they'll blow them up quite a bit. So you read and you're like, oh, wow. And it's like that punch in the face, you know. And people go on their site and they buy products and they're selling things and stuff like that. But the brass knuckles, just the real truth of it, they are teaching this stuff, cross-dressing and all this kind of LGBTQ propaganda in Australian schools. They have been for a while. Definitely.
I think it's great. You know why I think it's great? Because, I mean, I think it's fun. I think it's like a bunch of drunk rich people going, what else can we do with these people?
I know. Well, and, they're all probably queer,
but,
too.
I never heard any – I've been – you know, when I go out, I never hear people complain. So to me, I love what they do. None of it offends me. I just shake my head, but I'm like, okay, well, if you've got a kid in public school and they're doing anything remotely like this – you wouldn't send a kid to public school.
The parents don't care. The parents don't care, man. That's the thing. That's what I'm saying. I agree with you. Like, you can't stop it. Pull them out then. If you're not happy, take your kids out. They don't need to be there. Find another way. But you go down there and all the mums with their coffees, they're talking, they're chatting. You know, it's like it's cool to have an autistic child now. You know, it's like, it's, oh, I don't mind the teachers are incorporating this kind of LGBTQ propaganda with our kids. I mean, there's actually stories coming out where parents feel guilty at home because of all this propaganda, because they got a little boy at home, but they want to sort of incorporate this sort of change into his life a little bit. So they'll give him some dollies to play with or dress him up as a girl a little bit because they want to do the right thing, because they're good little people in the community, you know. So a lot of them, they don't actually really care. You could tell them and they're like, well, I trust the school. You know, we pay money, we put our kid there and I trust them, and that's okay. You're only going to get people like me who will just, well, I wouldn't even put my kid in there anyway. Or you might get some parents who go, well, I'm just going to take them out. But you can't change it. It's continuing. And I think, yeah, the perverts that run the world are just having fun. Maybe they're dressing up and cross-dressing and doing all this in their rooms. I don't know, but it's crazy.
I almost want to think that they're just probably regular fun guys, but they've created so many great stories of the bad guys, right? You know, so, you know, whether they're reptiles or a bunch of pedophilia, you know, philia. I don't know. But, I mean, they could be. And again, they've given us so many rabbit holes to, you know.
Well, Epstein's another one, isn't it? Because that's a funny one with his death. They turned that into a comedy movie. They really
did.
That's
Anthony Cordain. That's Anthony Cordain. You know that? You know, the restaurant guy. He died a couple of years ago.
That's right. He died similar. A little bit ago, and then this guy's gone. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, we're going to get into the actor reality thing, but yeah, they turned it into a comedy, didn't they? A whole thing, and then he killed himself under watch, and then, oh no, he's out on an island somewhere, he didn't actually die, and everyone's talking about it, and they're putting up the memes, and it's just, they're laughing at us. It's an absolute joke.
Well, I don't think people can comprehend that, you know, Facebook, Freemason book, that's why you got the F is pretty much a Freemason symbol for the Facebook. You know, they know exact. First of all, they're listening to this. They listen to everything. I mean, anything that's a smart device, especially. I mean, they're listening all the time.
Hello, Uncle Bernie. Hi, Uncle Bernie.
Yeah. It's so, I mean, to me, they know exactly what's going on because they're getting, you know, I can't imagine the technology that they use, you know, to track everything that they do. So everything that they throw out there, whether it's on Twitter or Facebook or news or radio, they know exactly how it's playing. And they know exactly how, you know, it's how to control us. I mean, it's a scientific, you know, I guess it's been called a scientific dictatorship, but I don't think we can comprehend how well they run us. And they run us exactly the way they want us. You know, even me and you, we might think we're truthers and independent thinkers, but we're not. We're still probably doing what they want us to do. We're just in a different, you know, we're in a different sector of the what they want us to do. But I don't know. I would love to be part of this group just because I kind of respect good business people. And if you can run the entire world and get, I mean, again, like we talked before, we're employees of a company. And if you look at the world where everybody that is a tax-paying citizen is an employee, we're watched like employees. So if you worked at IBM or Apple or Microsoft, you're watched, you're monitored, everything you do, from your computer time to the hallways, everything you do is going to be, you know, on video, on audio. And that's pretty much how they look at us, in my opinion. So everything that we're doing is in their system. That's how they look at it. And we're lucky to be, you know, that's their system. So they look at it like it's their system, and that whatever we do in their system, they have the right to monitor us. And I think they do. And more power to them. But I mean, people don't think that, right? Because we've got in America, we've got a democracy, which, you know, we're supposed to be a republic. But, you know, they give us these stories all the time, like, because they'll create a story like, you know, that so and so company got charged for, you know, compromising, because they'll come up like with a Julian Assange, right? You know, he's another actor. You know, they always have they always come up with some good whistleblowers in every country, right? Edward, I don't know who Snowden. You guys got, but, you know, yeah, those are all actors.
I'm sure they can get away from the mightiest military on the earth and hide in Russia, you know. It's like
you know, it's, they almost make it funny, like, you know, you got this news organization.
I guess they did go through and lock up, well, Julian Assange, though, didn't they? Or seemed to. They kind of put him through the stage of play.
Well, they didn't, of course. They say that. But
yeah,
they
locked up in the embassy there.
If you really start watching the news, and we'll talk about it again with the gematria and stuff, but once you start seeing how they code things, they stick to these codes, you know, pretty strict when in regards to using 3 and 33 and 6 and 66. And, you know, it's, I'd say half the stories I see that come across my timeline in Facebook, I'm like, oh my God, the codes just jump right off the page. And it's like they want you to know, or they want their members to know for sure. If you don't know what gematria is, you'll never have a clue. Because, you know, isn't it, here's the funny thing. I ask people this all the time. You know, and a lot of people will admit, even regular people that aren't even awake will say, yeah, I think the TV lies sometimes, right? I mean, everybody will almost admit that the TV has told some lies, right? The news, right? Most people, but if you're a truther, right, you think the TV's lying part of the time. But then I always ask the question, nobody can ever answer it. I go, well, what part are lies and what part is truth? And how do you determine the lies from the truth? What is your formula or, you know, your paradigm or the matrix that you use to do that, right? And it's a good question to ask because nobody can ever answer it, right? Because, you know, every truther will say, oh, I know that was a lie. Like everyone knows that 9/11 didn't happen. You know, most truthers know there was no planes involved, for example, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, I mean, that was on TV. You know, most truthers know the moon landing was fake. But I'm like, how do you know what's real and what's not? Because that same truther will post on his timeline some story, you know, that came from the Freemasons. They go, well, this story came from the same place 9/11 came from and the moon landing. So why do you believe this story, but you didn't believe these other stories? And they get us with this day-to-day news stuff. I mean, it's easy to see the hoaxes on the big stuff, right? I don't think, but for some reason, people take the day-to-day news as real. But 9/11 and moon landings and, you know, school shootings, people can kind of see those are fake. But for some reason, they take the other half as real. Have you seen that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I'm always like, well, how do you – I go, I mean, if your wife was lying to you half the time, do you still love her the other half of the time? You know, or your husband, you know. I either believe all of it or none of it. There's no in between for me. You know, if you're my business partner, you lie once, we're done. You're not lying to me once a week and we're going to be okay. Well, I'm honest 6 days a week. Okay, that's good enough. You know, I don't think most people would tolerate that in their personal life or with their kids or their wife or their business partners, but they do with everything else. So it doesn't make sense to me.
That's fine. Do you think the key is awareness? I mean, is there a way to enjoy something like television if you're aware of it and the manipulation? Is there a way to make it kind of bounce off you? Or do you think there's waves there that are damaging your health or they're getting into your subconscious anyway? If you're aware of the manipulation coming out of the TV, it kind of makes you laugh a little bit. I just see some of them. I just think this is a classic. It actually gives you a chuckle. But do you think it's just dangerous to have it on, or do you think there's a way to enjoy cinema and movies and TV?
Well, it's funny because I kind of gotten back. I got Netflix last month, and I hadn't had TV in 10 years. So I've rewatched some movies that I liked in the past, and now, you know, I see all this coding stuff I never saw before. Like I sent you the video on Back to the Future, we can talk about again later. But, you know, so these things take on a whole new meaning because now I know what they're trying to do. So when I watch a movie today, I can see what, you know, what agendas are being pushed and things like that.
It gives you awareness, doesn't it? And you can talk about it on the shows and stuff like that. You see it a lot, yeah.
But I'm not someone that can sit and, you know, and there's some movies that, you know, I mean, there's some movies that seem to be, you know, pretty benign. I mean, there's some stories that, you know, are touching and, you know, there's some movies I've watched where I'm like, well, this is pretty good. You know, I don't, you know,
there's always these movies now, like these bad, nasty comedies where people hate each other, all having sex with one another. These people are really terrible to one another, but they find love in the end.
Well, but even like the movies that seem pretty benign, if you really analyze them and what they're pushing, I mean, they might not have anything that seems really outright bad, but they'd be pushing religion, marriage.
They do.
You know, they might be. Yeah, so they're going to put – so even the things I might like, they're pushing, you know, like sports are real. Like I love the movie Cinderella Man. You ever seen Cinderella Man? I don't know if it's big and new. It's a true story about a boxer during
Russell
the Depression
Crow,
here in America. Yeah. It's a good movie. I think it is. I mean, well, it's a true story. I don't believe sports are real, but it was a true story the way they presented it. And it's a good movie. But again, but the movie promotes a lot of things, you know, promoted the Depression. So it promotes a lot of paradigms that they, as long as you agree with what the movie does, paradigm-wise, they win. So when people watch movies, they might know it's fiction or not, but they're going to trust the movies telling the right paradigm. So they're going to, you know, the government's always pushed as real. And, you know, most movies are going to, you know, have the CIA and cops. And so most of the movies do their job pretty well in regards to pushing the paradigm of how they run the world. So if that makes any sense. So I don't think TV is good at all for young people.
And video games and all of this. A lot of the music clips now, like the music video clips, are so highly sexualized. So it's really crazy.
And the words. I was at a bar last night.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, and this, even this older gal, she was like 60, and you know, playing some like Drake or I can't even say the words on your show. I mean, when I grew up, I mean, you know, if you heard the word bitch, that was a big deal in a song. I think it was like Devil Went Down to Georgia. I told you, you know, Devil Went Down to Georgia. I don't know, it's a big country song here back in the 70s. I told you once, you son of a bitch, and that was a big deal when I was growing up to hear the word bitch.
No, it's doing that. I watched, studied a lot of sitcoms, American sitcoms that come out. There was Two and a Half Men with Charlie Sheen and a whole bunch that were big in Australia, and they're on at like 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, and a lot of teenagers watch them, and they're filled with pornographic sexual material. And what I mean by that is in the wording. So they're not showing porno movies of people having sex. They're talking about it, and they're making anal jokes and sex jokes and defecation jokes and urinating on people jokes and all of this, and they're doing it all the time, and all these ejaculation jokes or whatever, and it goes on, and you're just sitting there going, what the hell? And they've got this canned laughter over the back of it, and it's just, I can't believe people even watch that. But I take notes and just write, you know, work out what's going on and then talk about it. But some of these shows are so popular, they're so big, and they bring out all these new movies, like American comedy movies. They come out at the cinema, and they're rated like MA or M, so medium adult, and the teenagers go and watch them, and you watch some of these movies later, I check them out, and wow, man, they are really like kind of sexually violent and really terrible, and they're eating popcorn, it's going right over their head. And I always say that a lot of people are lining up at the cinemas to pay money to laugh at their own demise.
Yeah, exactly right. It's funny. You know,
we pay the money. You know,
it's funny you brought Two and a Half Men up. I had this these friends I would go that are, you know, actually when I was RVing full time, they would watch this show. So I would sit in there, I'd watch this show with them, and I was amazed. Was it John Cryer? Wasn't he one of the characters in that show? John Cryer. See that?
The Jewish guy. Yeah.
And I, every show I watched was on, they had masturbation jokes. And I mean, stuff that was like, I was uncomfortable being around adults. I'm like, this is, you know, I don't want to be talking about this with you, let alone watching it on a TV show. I was like, this is a mainstream comedy. And it was really sexual. I was, that show was what, back in the 90s or so? Or the, I wasn't, I
yeah.
I
yeah,
can't
yeah.
even, the shows today, I get a glimpse at it. I'm like, wow. You know, it's just, right. I shake my head.
Yeah, there's heaps. No, Sex and the City was a big one, you know, to the girls in the city just screwing everybody and having, you know, working and everything like that. So they're all social engineerings. Those shows, none of those shows are just done and people getting up there or whatever. There's definitely, you know, a process behind there. I mean, it's manipulation. But when you're aware of it and you hear it and you see it, kind of bounces off me, but I want to be aware of it. I want to know, keep up with what they're doing and what young people are watching, so I can break it down here, you know, because it's important. Because every young person that might listen to this show might say, I've seen the same thing, I've heard that as well, and tell their friends, you know. But the sex thing's incredible. Absolutely. I think I've talked about it a few times. There was a guy in the UK that made a film called Porn on the Brain. And he was like an editor at a boobie magazine in the UK in London, and he had kids, and he wanted to make a film on this and how pornography is affecting young people. But it was pretty striking, some of the stuff that he went through, and he was talking to kids in schools, and they all watch pornography. They watch hardcore pornography as well, and all of this, and evidently they get it all off Facebook. and I found that funny. I've had pornography in my Facebook feed in the messages there, where you go to click, see it, and there's like a pornography sort of thing. A lot of people say that, but sometimes Facebook will block you for violating their community standards. Sometimes people get blocked, so that's all funny too. But it was a little bit of a worry. There's been some American ones made as well, where they're talking to kids on spring break and stuff, and they say, we all watch it, it just doesn't mean anything anymore. It goes over their heads, they're just numb to it now, all of that language that shocked us or shocked our grandparents and them before, you know, like Big Brother and those shows where they've got all these people in the house and they're being filmed. And they've been filming them on the toilet and filming all their conversations and everything. I mean, your grandparents would have been horrified at something like that. And it just shows you where we are as a human species now, where just none of this bothers us anymore. We've been so dumbed down to it. It's pretty incredible.
Well, I keep wondering, because again, I don't know how much crazier it can get. Because I'm like,
it's going to get, you know, very crazy.
And again, nobody, you know, I think 50 years ago, people would question, you know, I mean, you know, people were questioning Elvis Presley, you know, moving his hips in a certain way. And today it's like, it's amazing how much they've got people to, I don't hear anybody question anything. You know, when I go out, you know, hear conversations, it's only stuff that I knew they heard on the news or, you know, a TV show, but I've never heard anybody say, you know what, we got to question this currency, or we got to question, you know. They never question anything that's, you know, that I think would make a difference. But I don't know. I wish I could say it makes me mad anymore, but I'm almost like, it's kind of like, you know, I think if someone dates somebody and they've ever dated someone that really likes them, and you start treating them like, you know, really poorly, and they stay around. You know, and a lot of human nature will probably keep that person around. So if you have a girl, I mean, if I had a girlfriend and I guess I was cheating on her left and right and I had no integrity and she still loved me, I would probably continue to, you know, treat her poorly because she's letting me do it. And so I think, you know, the people that rule the world, you know, nobody is raising their hand saying we don't like it. Everybody is raising their hand saying give us more. I mean, I don't hear hardly anybody complain about anything. Really, do you?
Yeah, so I always wonder why we like that. To like to be abused, and not all women, men are the same as well. But it seems like if you're a nice guy and you're a caring guy, and you have, as you said, a girlfriend, and you look after them and you love them and you're good with them, it's like some women won't like that and they'll cheat on you or get rid of you because they mistake kindness and goodness for weakness in a man. They think if a guy is a good guy and he wants to look after them, he's a weak guy and he's going to be too clingy. So I want a guy that's going to punch me around a little bit and have all beefed up tattoos and act like a dickhead. That you get that a lot as well, and I don't know why that is. Some women stay with these men that abuse them. It's like people, it's weird. It's like people won't have respect to you until you're really bad to them. It's like and you get that everywhere. You get it with children. It's called biting the hand that feeds. It's this inbuilt thing that we have as humans, you know. You're good to kids and then they'll turn on you, so you have to have discipline. If you're good to someone in a relationship, they'll start seeing you as this weak kind of gullible person and want to move on. And, you know, you do it at work. If you're good to your employees and you treat them well, a lot will like that, but some will just start abusing that trust and they won't come in or they have days off or whatever. And so you've got to bring the fist down. It's really weird how you can find a level playing field here.
Well, that's over the holiday. I love posting on Facebook the truth about Christmas, and I, you know, you might know the truth, but you know, the Christmas was outlawed in America for quite a long time. You know, it's nothing to do with, you know, Jesus, whether you believe he's real or not, but it has nothing to do with Jesus. They say it does, but it doesn't. It's a, you know, Santa. You can't spell Santa without Satan, and Santa Claus, as in Claus, as in, you know, the old Santa Claus was a. And I don't want to go down what it means, but the main thing that what Christmas does and is it. I was asking some parents over the holidays. When is it okay for your kids to lie? Never. I go, what do you mean? I go, you lie to your kids from the day they were born. What do you mean? I go, well, you told them Santa Claus existed.
The
Easter Bunny existed. You got the Tooth Fairy, you know, and then of course you got the guy in the sky. But I go. So why is it okay to lie? You know, and it's really a. This has been a genius thing that the Freemasons have done, because that's why kids, you know, do not trust their parents. that's why they act out when they get older, because they're like, well, God, they lied about this, this, and this. What else are they lying about? Again, three big lies by the time you're 4 or 5, you're like, wow, you know? And again, it's a psychological strategy that works great. If you look at kids today, I mean, especially today, I mean, and that's why they create all this different weird music. Every decade, they kind of create new music, because that separates the kids from the, you know, from the parents, right? Mm. No, most parents aren't going to listen to hip hop probably today. So they use the music, all the music's ran by the military, by the way, at least it is in America. But have I ever told you the story about Jim Morrison, The Doors?
Yeah, I did some. I tried to do some shows on that, but we were talking about the Laurel Canyon and everything like that. Yeah, how his father was involved with the military. A lot of them were. That whole scene, the hippie scene. Dave McGowan. Dave McGowan's work, really interesting.
Yeah. So it's
There was the punk scene with the Sex Pistols and Johnny Rotten. There was the mod scene. There was always these big bands. There was Nirvana, Kurt Cobain, who killed himself. And like that was, you know, there were like every generation, as you said, has this new different types of music with the leaders that seem to be prepped up there, or these brainwashed kind of band members, whoever they are. They prep them up, put them up there, and then bring them down. They're just always knocking them up, always bringing them up and knocking them down like bowling pins.
Is hip hop really big in Australia as well? You guys?
Yeah,
is
it's pretty popular. Big? Yeah.
It's. I mean, I am amazed. I mean, again, I'm 53. I am amazed the lyrics in these songs. I'm amazed that you can play them in public, first of all.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
And I mean, again, I mean, almost every word in the song is something that, you know, you would never repeat. You know, like when I grew up, you know, I could play, you know, I used to like Kiss, you know, I wasn't a big Kiss fan, but it was big because it was, you know, lots of, you know, it was cool at the time. But, you know, all their songs I could play for my grandmother. None of it had anything really, really bad. I mean, they might say the word hell, but they weren't saying, you know, a lot of derogatory. I mean, the stuff today, I just.
That's it had that cross-dressing theme, though, didn't it? All those bands were dressed like women and stuff. That's been going on for a while. But you can see how they intensify it through time. Like it starts off lighter, but then it just builds and builds until it gets to the point now. And you're like, how far can they go?
It is amazing. Like, you know, I grew up in the 80s. So if you look at all the 80s videos, U2 and REM and all the, you know, I love and I still love that music today. You won't find, you know, everyone actually looks pretty. Everyone actually has kind of like nice clothes, and they might have a little funky hair, but you won't see any tattoos, none. You know, weird. You won't see it. I never think I can see. I don't think I've ever seen a tattoo in an 80s video. And I tell people, I go, if you don't think TV influences you, do you think all these parents are telling their high school kids to get gauges and 20 tattoos? I mean, do you think that's coming from the parents? You know, that's how powerful the media is today, and of course with the phones. I mean, people are looking at they're looking at a screen pretty much all their waking hours, right?
Mm.
It's just
right. Yeah, it makes who they are. It builds them.
Do you ever wonder? I always wonder. You know, this is my truth or hope coming out. I have a direct mail company, and a lot of people thought, oh, direct mail is going to die, right? And I'm like, you know, I think it's actually going to get bigger, because I think people are really immune to like advertising online, right? And when I have my phone and the computer, but you know, if I get something in the mailbox, I do have to touch it, and I, you know, there's a better chance that I am going to look at it than I will with a digital ad. So I always wonder, in 10 or 20 years, my hope is maybe people will. I mean, I can't see tattoos staying popular, only because, you know, everyone's going to have them, right? Mm. So in another 10 years, I'm wondering. You know, in the I grew up in the Midwest in America, and I was in Sal Padre Island a couple of years, which is the biggest spring break place in America. You know, where all the kids come, you know, on spring break for college. And there's 3 weeks, and 1 week, you know, the kind of different parts of the country come down every week, and 1 week was mainly the Midwestern schools like Nebraska and Minnesota and Iowa, and you know, all these kids are, you know, 18 to 22 or 23, and you wouldn't see hardly any tattoos. In the same way, when I lived in Nashville last year, it was mainly country music. But then, you know, then there's parts of the country where, you know, you got the entire body covered in tattoos. But I almost kind of I'm going to be curious to see what happens in another 10 years to see if it goes another direction.
The women are getting them.
Yeah.
The women are all getting the tattoos now. The women are all playing the male sports here that were all predominantly just for men. Now they're playing all the male sports, and they're getting all the sleeves of all their arms tattooed now. And they're going to the gym, and they're bulking up, and they're looking like men. And they're becoming more aggressive as the men become more feminine, it seems. But the women are getting all their bodies covered with tattoos now. I see it everywhere. Young girls, they've got all these new tattoos splashed all over them. And the guys are going to the laser parlors to get their ones removed.
Now I know with soccer, there's always good looking guys in soccer. Are they getting a bunch of, like in American sports, they all have a ton of tattoos, especially basketball.
Yeah, they get the sleeves, their arms done, usually the right arm from the where you would wear a watch around your wrist up. Yeah. So it shows when you're wearing a shirt.
How about soccer? Is soccer getting pretty polluted with tattoos?
Yeah, they're getting a lot of tattoos now too. Yeah.
Because soccer usually was a bunch of clean cut kids for the most part, right? Back in the day, wasn't soccer good looking, clean cut?
Yeah, the girls are playing soccer now, and they're getting the tattoos.
I kind of wonder if that's going to last, or if that'll, you know, because I swear to God, I think in 10 years, where the money's going to be at will be tattoo removal. So they'll probably make that unpopular, and they'll make a bunch of money trying to remove them. And it'll probably give people all sorts of diseases, right? All right, come to my medical facility, and we're going to laser these things off or whatever, or we're going to put some chemical on your skin and eat it away. I don't know. I'm serious with you. I think in 10 years, you go, oh, my God. I think that's what they will probably do, is they're going to make tattoos seem ridiculous eventually. And they're going to laugh their asses off, right? They're going to go, oh, my God, everyone's got their entire body covered. Now we've made them completely stupid, you know, with our media manipulation, right? I think that would be hilarious. I would just laugh my butt off if I saw that.
That's right. Yeah.
Great.
It's yeah. Well, the media manipulation is incredible. It's unbelievable. You put a lot up on your Facebook page. I'll put the link up there. You put a lot of these crazy articles that come out, and I don't know who starts these crazy online digital papers, you know, or whatever they are. They're just so fake. And one thing I like here that you've put up is this whole, I know I've talked about it before with you, is like there's all these trannies now as well in movies and TV shows that people think are actually women. But I always kind of thought to myself, watching some of these shows, is that a guy? You get this, you were talking about Victoria's Secret as well in some of these places. That's an interesting one, but might tie in with the actor reality as well.
Yeah, the transgender agenda is pretty interesting. I don't know if they're all transgender or not, but you have to really educate yourself on what men and women look like, because if you've only been watching TV and it's been a lot of transgenders on both sides of the aisle, you don't really know. So, you know, I've had to study for quite a long time looking at, you know, if you just study openly transgender people that have YouTube channels, you'll be amazed what happens in six months. I mean, in 6 months, I could look like a female with hormones. It'd be hard to tell that I wasn't a female. And vice versa. I mean, you know, a female could take male, you know, testosterone and whatever they do these days, and man, they'll grow beards and get biceps, and you know, they'll look, you know. There's one called Adrian Dalling. Let me look it up here real quick. She was on the cover of Men's Health as a transgender. So again, this is an openly transgender person. She didn't transgender until she was like in her 20s.
A lot of your videos as well have been taken down off YouTube. You put up 125 Hollywood, 1960s, 1970s, stars in bikinis.
Oh, that's already down. Wow.
Yeah, it's down.
Yeah, that's
is that showing what women used to look like in the 1960s?
Well, I think a lot of the women that were presented are men, and
even back then.
Yeah, I think back then it was even easier because we weren't looking for it yet. But like Charlie's Angels, it's one of these things where people will argue. I'm like, well, I know there's some I can prove and there's some I can't, but obviously they're lying to us. Again, they're not telling us openly that these people are trannies. It's really easy to tell with the men, you know, because if you look at a lot of your popular Hollywood stars, you know, they're pretty small. You know, they're not 6'2". A lot of them are small. Like Russell Crowe, probably a guy. He's pretty, you know, looks like a guy. But you look at like Matt Damon and those kind of people, that, you know, Wahlberg, they're pretty small guys. And you can really tell by their chest because they cut out the breast muscle. You know, the breast muscle, they usually can't, they can get biceps and stuff, but they really can't get a chest because they've cut out the muscle. Anyway, that's I don't know. I think it's just, I think they do it because, you know, a lot of men have probably masturbated to men. You know, a lot of these, you know, Farrah Fawcett, I think that's an easy tranny to see. You know, I had her best-selling poster. And they do other things, rib removal surgery. I think Raquel Welch was a I think Marilyn Monroe, you know, that looks like a guy anyway. But again, it's one of these things where it doesn't matter if we can prove all of them, but there's enough out there where you can kind of see it, in my opinion at least. You know, Lady Gaga. I mean, they use a lot of name games like Lady Gag. You know, Lady Gaga. That was Amy Winehouse, by the way. So if you want to look at Amy Winehouse, who died, is Lady Gaga as well. So,
that adds up, yeah.
And it makes sense to me that most of these stars that we know, they're using fake names and they play many roles. I mean, obviously they can make more money playing many roles. So they, you know, a lot of your actors are other actors. You just don't know it, which makes sense because you are an actor anyway. So why not play two or three Hollywood actors? So,
well, that's a actor reality podcast we're going to do in the new year. For sure, that's going to be an interesting one and confronting and challenging. As you said, there's a lot you can't sort of prove or whatever, but we can talk about it and go over it and give people the information. As well, you put a lot of fake news up on your wall on Facebook. You know, about the Swedish kid getting beaten and all of this.
You saw that one. You saw that, right?
But what are these papers, the Daily Political News? And look, they don't even spell right. It says here, unbelievable, the 12-year-old boy in the Swedish city of Helensburg was instructed of Arab immigrants so because he has blue eyes. So they haven't spelt it or worded it correctly. And then underneath it's like all these weird ads, like dozens and dozens of weird ads and gossip ads as well. They just go on and on.
So these are like satire. there is one website called, I think it's called World.
So they're just making it up. Yeah, we get the magazines here for the women, you know, the magazines, and they just make up stuff about the royals and stuff. They're splitting up. They're back together. It's just crazy. I'm wondering how they get away with it.
Well, there's a website called World News Daily Report that posts a lot of stuff. And obviously that name sounds legitimate, right? World News Daily Report. And it's a satire site, but a lot of people will take it for truth. But, you know, most of the stuff I post comes from MSNBC or Fox or something like that, or Breitbart, The Blaze, you know, the Free Thought Project. They're always trying to post all this, like, supposed cop violence videos. I guess my point again is we always make these videos. I'm not here to prove any agenda all the way. I just know these agendas exist. And to how deep they go, I don't know. We'll never know. But all I know is all these agendas, I can show you some patterns, and I think I can show you enough proof that it's going on. And I think it goes on probably deeper than we know, but, you know, I don't care to prove it all the way because it doesn't matter. But I think I can prove actor reality. I can prove some transgender stuff. I can prove some gematria. And there's enough to where if you've got a, you know, brain that works a little bit, you can say, yeah, I can see this. I can see some patterns here. I can see why. And obviously the transgender agenda did not come from the ground up, right? I didn't know what that word was when I grew up. I didn't know what that word was. Did you?
I never heard of it. No. It's definitely a new kind of phenomenon, yeah.
But here's the funny part. I YouTubed all the original Saturday Night Live. Did they have Saturday Night Live in Australia? That was, you know, a big one of the big first comedy night shows, you know, in the 70s in America, right? Bill Murray and Chevy Chase.
Huge, you know, yeah.
So Chevy Chase was the very first, you know, they used to have they had the news comedy thing on Saturday Night Live. Dennis Miller did that for a while. And I watched the first year. I think this is in the mid-70s when Saturday Night Live started. And I'd say half of the news jokes were transgender jokes. And this is in the 70s. I'm like going, oh, my God. They're just setting it up. So they talk about it, make jokes about it. But then they wait a couple decades, and then they introduce it.
Yes.
And then people are ready for it because they've been hearing it. I mean, they're hearing it subconsciously, right?
Yeah, well, they did it in the 80s with all the glam metal rock bands. You know, Poison and Twisted Sister and Rat and Wasp and all the American male bands that all dressed up as women to do this rock music, you know. Alice Cooper was one, so many. Even Guns N' Roses, he dressed up like a woman a bit. And then, of course, today they got like a Pirates of the Caribbean with Johnny Depp acting as like a gay pirate. And so there was all this dress-up going on as well, where men were dressing up as women and playing these roles in movies. There was like Tootsie. We had Australia Queen of the Desert with these drag queens running around the desert. So it's all through the movies as well. And it kind of started getting saturating, and then it just they talk about it, as you said, and then they introduce it a little while later. These people are patient, and then it gets introduced, and then it just becomes saturating, you know.
One thing that that's interesting to know, that I guess throughout history, you know, back when everything was acted out on stage, for my research, and I could be wrong, but I guess pretty much going through history, all women were played by men on stage. So, you know, before there was movies, when they had stage plays, the women were played by men. You can maybe verify that, but I've heard that more than a few times. You know, one thing I wanted to tell the audience that I forgot to say earlier, you know, my first step, I wouldn't say to waking up, but to getting further in life, I sold insurance out of college, you know, graduated in my mid-20s, took my time. And I had a hard time, you know, insurance was a hard sell. And I got into motivational tapes. I don't know if you ever went through a phase like that, but, you know, here, you know, people know Tony Robbins and maybe Zig Ziglar. I mean, it's a big market. But I did that almost every day for like 10 years. I listened to, you know, motivation and educational tapes. And that's, you know, I always thought if I had children today, I would just give them, you know, these motivational tapes and educational tapes, because you listen to like an hour a day. It's amazing how it really gets your mind back on track. And so I don't know if you've ever done that before. If anyone's listening that has kids, man, you give your kids 30 minutes a day of something motivational, it makes a big difference over the, you know, 30 minutes a day for the rest of their life. Really, you know, people work out. People understand working out your body, right? 30 minutes a day, you can, you know, have a pretty good physique if you're on a no-carb diet. But, you know, people don't work out their mind. So, you know, staring at your screen and watching TV and watching, you know, movies, that doesn't work out your mind. But if you program it with the right type of information, boy, your mind really comes alive as well. So anyway, that was my first big step into not waking up, but to, like, you know, at least understanding that I need to feed my mind. I need to feed my mind with truthful things. And that's not coming from college. That was coming from people that made millions of dollars, you know, that I could learn from in regards to it, like business and things. But I don't know if that's ever – I don't. Have you ever done that? Listen, like Zig Ziglar. Have you ever done motive?
Not so much. I know what you mean, though. Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. I'll have to send you some links, but it's really good stuff, and it really gets me. I still do it today because, you know, getting us the truth, right? My mind needs some positive exercise, so these kind of things do it for me.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I know. You do need it. Yeah, it's we got to survive out there. It's a jungle.
Well, again, hopefully people are enjoying our conversations. Yeah. And again, I want people to realize that it's not that hard, though. And I always want to say that it's really not that bad of a world, not that bad of a life. You know, I mean, and obviously if you can learn some truth and entertain that the world is the way it is. I don't know. I think the world's a pretty neat place. You know, it's kind of like I tell people, it's kind of like knowing the script of a movie before you watch it, because now I kind of see how the world's ran. So it's kind of entertaining when I go out, because I kind of see, you know, what's taking, what's not, you know, how they're controlling people. So I almost find it entertaining, I guess. Sometimes I guess I find it kind of sad because some of it's kind of weird looking, but I don't know. I wish people, if anybody has any suggestions for shows, I would love to talk about some things maybe that people are, like a couple things I've been researching lately, maybe you have too, Adam, is mud floods and resets. Does that come across your radar lately?
I'm
kind of curious to know if anybody has any thoughts on that. I've watched some video. I think his name is Barnabas Nagy, I believe, and he's got some interesting content about getting these mud floods and a reset. It's interesting to talk about it. I don't worry about it because that's the past and I can't control it, but it's interesting stuff.
Jeez.
So, anyways. Cool.
All good. We can lots to cover, that's for sure. Absolutely. So I think we'll be heading into some more good shows into the new year. And we'll it's New Year's Eve here in Sydney, so got a little bit to do today. And hope you have a good New Year's Eve, and our listeners as well. And take care, and have a good time with family and loved ones. And enjoy. So we'll plug out now, Corey, and tune in again next year. Plug back into the Matrix.
Yeah, thanks for everybody for listening. Have a great new year, and I've always enjoyed chatting with you, Adam.
All right, thanks, Corey, and chat soon in 2020. Unbelievable.
I know. Have a great new year.